Verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me as a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." This is the word of God.
Thanks, Jeff. Let's pray before we look at the passage before us. Father, we thank you for your word, that you have revealed to us what is good and wise, and about yourself and about the world that we live in. We pray for your spirit to help us to understand your word and help us to live wise and intentional lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to speak about living life purposefully, because that's what it means to make the most of every opportunity. So are you living purposefully? I know I need regular reminders, because it's easy to drift, it's easy to be coasting, it's easy to to go off track, to be haphazard. But to live and to make the most of life is actually to live with focus, to be intentional, to have direction. Why should we live purposefully? In the passage that we read, we read about the rich man. He had a bumper crop, and he thought to himself, "My barn is too small. What will I do? I will tear down the small barn and I will build a bigger barn. And once I have the big barn, I can store up these crops so that my life is set for the rest of my life. I will be set. I will relax, take it easy, enjoy early retirement, eat, drink, and be merry." When you read this, you think that sounds like what most of us would do. Isn't that what most people do? But the shocking thing in the passage is that God calls him a fool. He was a fool not because he was rich, because money is neutral, but he was a fool because he got the purpose of life wrong. He got what life is all about wrong. He made a mistake. He thought life was about getting stuff so you can save up and then you can enjoy your life. Eat, drink, and be merry. Every day in the media, from society, from our friends, we get messages about what life is all about. Our landlord, whenever he sees us, he says, "Enjoy the life." He's an atheist, and for him, life's philosophy is about being happy. Now, let me say, there's nothing wrong about being happy. But if happy is all you live for, then we are mistaken. So what is the purpose of life? Is life about studying, getting a good mark for HSE, getting into the course that you want so that you can earn a good income, you can buy a house, get married, save up for early retirement? Is that what life is all about? All these are good things. But if that's what we are living for, then we too have missed out on the purpose for why we were created. So what is life for? Why do we exist? In John 17:3, Jesus tells us, he says, "This is eternal life. This is what we were created for, that you may know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent." So this is the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to know God. It is to be in relationship with God. Sometimes people express it in different ways. It is to live is Christ and to die is gain. Or it is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. See, the problem with the rich man was not that he made a lot of money, but that he had no regard for God. God was missing from his thinking. God was missing from his life's plan. Not once in that passage is God mentioned. But also for us, Jesus says in verse 21, "So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God." So what does it mean for us? What does it mean to be rich towards God? It means to value knowing God. It means to value being in a relationship with God. It means to treasure God above all else. That's what it means to be rich towards God. See, how we use our money shows us what we value. We use money to buy what we value. We use money to get what's important to us. The rich man was a successful businessman, but he was a fool because he valued eating, drinking, and being merry. That's what he believed the purpose of life was, and he was wrong. See, the purpose of life is about knowing God. It's about having a relationship with God. So if that's the purpose of life, if that's why we exist, then we must prioritize our relationship with God, spending time with God so that we can fulfill our purpose in life, so that we can get to know God who created us. Stephen Covey gives this illustration about time management. You may have heard it before. Basically, there's a jar, and there's some rocks, there's some pebbles, and sand. So you put all the rocks in the jar, and then he asks, "Is the jar full?" And the jar is full of rocks. But then he takes the pebbles and he pours the pebbles in. So the pebbles sort of slither in between the rocks. Is the jar full? So everyone knows by now, yes, the sand can still fit in. So you pour the sand, and so you've got rocks, you've got pebbles, you've got sand. Then the question is asked, what's the point of this illustration? And some say that, oh, if you try hard enough, you can still find more time to do things and try to fit things into that jar. But that's not the point. See, the point is, if you put the sand first, there won't be place for the rocks. So what are these things? See, the rocks represent the most important things in life. The pebbles are the things that are of secondary importance, not as important. And the sand are all those trivial, insignificant, small things in life. If we don't put the rocks in, there won't be space for the rocks. If we fill our lives with things that are inconsequential, things that are irrelevant, we won't have space for the things that are really important. So we have to decide what is most important. How will we fill our lives and our time? We all have only 24 hours a day. So I want to encourage us, if the purpose of life is our relationship with God, then that is a huge rock, and we've got to put that rock into the jar. So as we start 2015, as we start a new year, I want to encourage all of us to be intentional in how we use our time. To have a plan for this year. What's your plan for this year? If we don't have a plan, the sand will fill our lives. The sand will fill our schedule. The sand will fill our day. I want to encourage us that to spend time with God, that is an important thing, because that is why we were created, to know God. If you haven't got a plan, let me encourage you to take one of the Bible reading plans at the back on the chair, and as you decide intentionally, this is what I want to do this year, and this is why I want to do it. I want to do it because I was made for a relationship with God. And how do I get to know this God who made me? It's by listening to Him as I read His Word. It's by talking to Him as I pray to God. Have a plan. And as you spend time with God, we will be changed by that relationship. We will be transformed. You will grow to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love other people. That's what Jesus, when was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the most important commandment? He said, to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So, this is why God created us, to know Him, and knowing Him would transform us to love Him and to love others. What part of what that looks like to love other people would be then to treat them as how you would want to be treated. I feel like everyone is so silent. Are you all angry with me for scolding you all? No? Everyone's okay? If you have an issue with me, please talk to me after the service, because we must not have unresolved conflict. Okay. So to know God is to be in a relationship with Him, and that relationship is a transforming relationship. It means to love God and to love others, to do good to others. And one aspect in which we will be transformed is to care about the things that are on God's heart. In Jeremiah 22:16, it says this, He judged the cause of the poor and the needy. Then it was well. Is not this to know me, declares the Lord. So God is saying that to know God means that we care about things that He cares about. It means to care about the poor and the needy. In Micah 6:8, He has told you, O man, what is good? What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with the Lord your God. So it's reflected in a life of justice, a life of mercy, a life of walking humbly with God, in fellowship with God. So that's our purpose in life. Knowing God, being in relationship with God, and how that looks like, loving God, loving others, justice, mercy, doing good to others. That's what it looks like. How do we live purposefully? If this is the goal for our lives, how do we live purposefully? I want to encourage you to write down a purpose statement for your life. What is your life's mission? What is your life's purpose? How do you capture it? When you write it down, you are being intentional. You're thinking about it, and you're being purposeful. You're not just aimlessly going about in life. This is what I'm about. This is important to me. I'm putting it down in writing. So write down a purpose statement. I've got a very simple one. So my purpose statement is to please God. To please God. You can put it like Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Or he said that I may know him. So put it in whatever shape and form you'd like to, but God has got to be central in your life's purpose statement. Then once you've done your purpose statement, then write down some goals for 2015. At the end of this 2015, what do you want to have accomplished or done? What do you want to resolve for this year? At the end of the year, I want to have done this thing. This is important to me. If it's important to me, you're going to make time for it. You've got to put it down. If not, at the end of the year, time flies so quickly and it wouldn't have been done. So, yeah, you might have different categories for God, for family, church, work or studies, health, whatever those categories are. Put it down and write down a goal for the year. Then once you write down those goals, then you've got to fit it into your schedule. So do a weekly schedule for yourself and put the things that are important into your schedule. Stephen Covey has this phrase. He says, the key is not to prioritize your schedule. The key is to schedule your priorities. You know, you have a to-do list when you wake up in the morning. I've got to check emails. I've got to feed the dog, take him for a walk. I've got to wash clothes. I've got to do this. Your day can be filled with everything on your to-do list. But when you just go about the to-do list and put in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, A, B, C, D kind of things to see what's important, you can end up doing all these things and not do the most important things. So it's not about prioritizing your schedule. It's about scheduling your priorities. So you've got to decide at the beginning of the year what's important to you. These are my priorities. So I'm going to make sure that my priorities are fitted into my schedule because that's important for me. If we don't put in the rocks, the sand will fill your jar. So decide what's important and put it in your schedule. I think for most of us here, God is important. The fact that you are sitting here this morning means God has a place in your life. The struggle is because we have competing priorities. We have different things that are vying for our time, our attention, the affection of our hearts. What do? Our hearts, we are sinful people. Our hearts are prone to wander. Our hearts are prone to go astray. So the challenge is to put things that will help us to make sure that we are focused, to make sure that we are intentional. So make spending time with God a priority. I think for all of you here, or for many of you here, you have grown up in the church. And because you've grown up in the church, You may do things out of habit, out of routine. I attend church on Sunday. That's what I always do. I attend cell group. That's what I do. But that's not being rich towards God. Being rich towards God means you treasure these things. You don't just show up because that's what you always do. You show up because that's important to you. You show up because this is what I value. This is important. This God is my treasure. And so we need to be intentional. What's important? What's really important? I'm here because coming to church is important to me. I have made a conscious choice. I'm not just showing up because that's what I do. I made a conscious choice because God is important to me. Because knowing God is why I've been created. I'm making a choice. I'm being intentional with my life. And so when you make the choice, you are engaged. You're not passive. It means something to you. So put down strategies to reflect that in your intentionality. So be intentional and then make those decisions. What does that look like for me for this year? A great example of someone who was intentional, he's dead now, is Jonathan Edwards. No matter how intentional you are, you still die. So, yeah, okay. So, Jonathan Edwards is a great person. Please Google him and read his resolutions. But I want to read a few for you. How many of you have heard of Jonathan Edwards? Okay. So let me read a few of his resolutions. It's quite challenging, but it shows a person who was extremely focused, extremely intentional. Let me say he wrote it when he was 18 or 19 years old, just to give you an idea of how old he was. Okay, let me read. He starts off saying that I can only do or keep these resolutions with God's help and by God's grace, and without God's help I can't do anything. So let's get that clear. It's not a discipline without God kind of thing. It's God help me and I'm going to be disciplined. Okay, resolution 1. Resolved, I will do whatever I think will be most to God's glory and my own good, profit and pleasure as long as I live. I will do all these things without any consideration of the time they take. So God's glory and my good, my pleasure. Resolved to do whatever I understand to be my duty and will provide the most good and benefit to mankind in general. Resolve to do this, whatever difficulties I encounter, and no matter how many I experience or how severe they may be. Whatever the challenges, he is going to live for God's glory and for his good. 2. Resolve, I will continually endeavor to find new ways to practice and promote the things from resolution 1. Keep improving and finding new and better ways to do resolution 1. 3. If ever, really, whenever I fail and fall or grow weary and dull, whenever I begin to neglect the keeping of any part of these resolutions, I will repent of everything I can remember that I have violated or neglected as soon as I come to my senses again. If he messes up, he's going to repent and start afresh. 4. Resolve to do anything, whether physically, never to do anything, whether physically or spiritually, except what glorifies God. In fact, I resolve not only to do this commitment, but I resolve not to even grieve and gripe about these things if I can avoid it. So it's not just I'm going to live for God's glory, but I'm not going to be cynical. I'm not going to be grumbling. I'm not going to be murmuring about, oh, I'm working so hard for God. Kind of. He resolved to live for God's glory with thankfulness. Is this too heavy? Is it okay? Okay. Five, resolve. Never lose one moment of time, but seize the time to use it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Six, resolve to live with all my might while I do live. Seven, resolve never to do anything which I would be afraid to do if it were my last hour on earth. Now that's a good one, isn't it? I find this challenging. Eight, resolve to act in all respects, both in speaking and doing, as if nobody had ever been as sinful as I am. And when I encounter sin in others, I will feel as if I had committed the same sins or had the same weaknesses or failings as others. I will use the knowledge of their failings to promote nothing but humility, even shame in myself. I will use awareness of their sinfulness and weakness only as an occasion to confess my own sin and misery to God. How radical is that? Like often when we see other people sin, we think that's their problem, too bad, pray for them. But he's using it as an opportunity to realize that, but for God's grace, I'm like that. Resolve, nine, resolve to think much on all occasions about my own dying and of the common things which are involved with and surround death. In our culture, we don't want to think about dying and death, but he's thinking about death because it says in Ecclesiastes, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Because when we go to a funeral, we realize that life is brief and I'm going to end up there one day. And it gives us clarity. What's important? Why am I living? What's important? Why am I living? So he resolved to think about his own death. 10. Resolve, when I feel pain, to think of the pains of martyrdom, both of Jesus and of believers around the world, and to remind myself of the reality of hell. Some lighter ones now. Just 20. Resolve to maintain the wisest and healthiest practices in my eating and drinking. I just eat whatever I want, folks. But he was intentional about the food. He said if he eats a lot, he'll be sleepy and he can't be productive. And so he used to see what food will make me less sleepy so I can be more productive. This was a man focused and intentional to make the most of his life. 13. Resolve to be endearing, to discover worthy objects of charity and liberality. 14. Resolve never to do anything out of revenge. So he goes on and on. There's about 70 resolutions, and his plan was to read it every week. So I'm not asking you to come up with 70 resolutions. If you come up with one or two, I think that's heaps. It's about living with intentionality. It's about living with focus. It's about deciding what's important in life and not being aimless, haphazard, deciding and going for it. So, it's the start of the year. Let's not be drifting. Let's not do it because that's what we've always done. Let's decide. I'm making a conscious choice. This is what is important. This is what I'm going to live for. And because it's important, I'm going to live for it. I'm going to put it in my schedule. I'm going to put it in because if I don't, sand is going to fill my life. It's going to fill the jar. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we don't want to be like the rich fool who got the purpose of life wrong. Lord, we know, Lord, it is to live in relationship with you. Lord, our hearts can easily wander. We can easily be distracted. Things fill our time and our lives and we lose focus. So Father, this afternoon we ask for your help, your grace. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. Speak to us, Lord, clearly. What would you have us to do with our lives this year? Lord, you have made us for yourself and we are restless until we find our rest in you. So we ask, Lord, that you would satisfy us this afternoon. Satisfy us with our relationship with you, Lord, that we would not seek after other things, but you would be our joy, our delight, our treasure, that we would be content in you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help our hearts not to wander. We pray, Father, for a fruitful year. We pray for your help to crystallize the goals and the plans that we want to accomplish this year. We pray that you would be the center, that you would be glorified, that we will know you better this year. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.